Welcome to Sweet Tea and Therapy with AMP, the podcast where we spill all the tea from discussing the latest trends in pop culture to delving into the depths of therapy. We're here to demystify it all. I'm Adrian Johnson.
And I'm Pamela Tippett. Together, we're your hosts on this journey through the world of media, lifestyle, and therapy. Whether you're sipping sweet tea or seeking solace, we've got you covered. So grab your favorite friend.
Discussing everything from living in the 60-40% zone, letting go of unrealistic expectations, managing burnout, all the way to having a good laugh about some of the tea that we spill today. Let's get into it. So I guess today, this is the season finale, right?
It is.
Season one.
Yes.
Look at that. Okay. So I guess we're going to do things a little bit different for this episode. We normally do the therapeutic moment at the end of the episode and we talk about all the tea, but today we're going to start with a therapeutic moment. Pam and I were just talking about like this season that I'm in, and the last time you all heard my voice, I was talking about burnout and parenting. And, you know, I think I had myself on a timeline and I just knew that by today I would be like back at 100%. And, you know, then here comes today and this meeting is on my calendar and I'm not there. And so in just thinking about my therapeutic moment, I said, you know, make time for things that bring you joy. Sometimes the easy thing to do is set aside things that are perceived as extra or non-essential, such as hobbies or self-care luxuries. I've learned that these things are, in fact, essential. And just because they're not necessarily on like the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of needs doesn't mean that they're not essential and that they're not basic human needs. And so like, last time I was here, just feeling burnout, I hope to be better. And I said, I'm tired, but I'm glad to be here. I felt unprepared. So, you know, I started to kind of speak negatively to myself and about myself for not like giving this responsibility 100%. And you know, I thought about it and it was just like, you know, it was never really intended to be perfect or even to have the perception of perfection. Like that was the exact opposite of what we wanted to create here. And so I think that's what Sweet Tea and Therapy is all about. It's about the behind the scenes life of two therapists and being authentic. And the truth is, I'm just not at my best. And I'm learning how to be okay with that while also coaching myself through the work that I know I just have to do to recover. You know, and sometimes the work is to rest. You know, people don't really think about sometimes it can be work to rest.
True.
You know, when you're focused in your head about all of the have a plan, we have, you know, dates on the calendar for this, because if it wasn't, I would just push it around and it wouldn't be a priority. And so I'm glad that we schedule. I've learned that these things are essential. And, you know, I say, even though they're not at the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, they're still essential basic human needs. To have joy in something and to find balance and to have as much play time as you do work time. So I was burnt out the last time y'all heard from me, and I just knew that by today I would be better. And I'm not. I'm tired, but I'm glad to be here. And I was telling Pam earlier, I felt so unprepared, you know, just before we started our meeting today, because I've just been really overwhelmed and I haven't, you know, dedicated a lot of time to like prepping. And then I remembered that we never intended for this to be perfect, or to have a perception of it, of life being perfect. And I think that's what Sweet Tea and Therapy is all about. I think that's why we created this space, was to be authentic and to give a glimpse of like what it's like to be who we are as therapists, but also as just human beings, as mothers, as wives, as, you know, your dancer, and, you know, whatever the things are. So I'm not really at my best right now. And I'm okay with it. I'm coaching myself, you know, through it. I think this is ultimately like a stage of life thing for me that I, you know, it's just like it comes with the territory. So, but I make the mistake of sometimes like in my own head pressuring myself to be like a complete product of a human being. Like, oh, you're 36 years old almost. You're supposed to, you know, have this shit figured out completely. And that kind of thinking will land me on the Hot Mess Express, because it's just so unfair and it's unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm grateful for this space. You know, the podcast forces me to sit down and to kind of ground myself, because I know you're going to ask me how I'm doing. And I know that I can't really lie to you and like skate around it. So I'm
you can try.
I already know not to. And so anyway, I'm really grateful for this experience. I'm very proud of the first season. And I just want to say thank you, Pam, for just allowing me to share this space with you.
Well, it is my pleasure to share this space with you. And I think, yes, we do this for enjoyment and to be authentic. And I think it just, it's, to me, you said it best, it's a practice in letting go of perfection. I feel that as women of color, I think that that's a burden that we carry. We need, if we're going to show up, we need to show up at 110%. Well, you know what? Some days it's more like 40, but you know what? I showed up and I'm not going to pretend like I'm at 110 when I'm at 40. And I like that we're embracing that authenticity of where we're actually at, showing up consistently as we are. And I think that is something that in our community is not really something that's done often. So it is definitely my pleasure to do this. So following Adrienne's lead, I'm going to share my therapeutic reflection, and I'm going to piggyback on yours. And I have a lot of sayings, and all my clients know it in my space. So when you were talking about, you know, you're not 100% and you thought you were, I have this thing about we live in the 60 to 40% zone. I think most of us think that we're supposed to always be in the 90 to 100% zone of life. That is feeling good, feeling great, possibly everything is going as planned, everything is good, you know, it's just moving along swimmingly. But I think that we as humans, we do visit the 90 to 100% place, but we do not reside there. And I think people expect to reside there. Because you go to the other end, too, you're going to visit 30% or less at some point in time.
Yeah.
Things happen.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to go over there, too. And I think just the human experience means you have that whole range. And I think we expect to live in the 90 to 100% zone. You will go there. You will visit and it will be great. But you do not reside there. Most days I tell people, if I'm here before the first client and everything is turned on and I can greet them at the door, I'm having a 60% day just right there, you know, just right there. And embracing that. And I feel like we have to manage our expectations of ourselves. We have to let go of some of those, you know, ideas that I, you know, need to get better. I don't care what it is. I don't know if you've noticed this, but whether somebody has lost someone near and dear to like a physical, like you're recovering from surgery. 2 weeks, people are like, you know what? It's been 2 weeks and I'm not over it yet. So I'm not back at 100%. I'm like, didn't you say that you lost, like, sometimes it's like a spouse or like a child. Like, it's only like, are you serious? First of all, we have these expectations of like, you said, I'm going to be better by the time I get back on here. Well, you're not.
Yeah.
Well, you're not. And I think we have to really just kind of embrace that whole 0 to 100 spectrum. And I think people don't like it when I say 60 to 40% zone, because if that was a grade, that would be like an F. But we're not in school and these aren't grades. This is real life, damn it. This is the real deal. So I think really being where you are, acknowledging that I don't live in the 90 to 100% range. And sometimes we don't visit that place for a while.
Yeah.
We don't go back there for a while, but you might get to 70%. And you know what? That ain't bad. Or you might get to 65. That ain't bad either. You know, I think we give that part of the spectrum, it gets a bad rap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't really, let's be real. I'm trying to think, when was the last time I was in that 90? I'm trying to think as I talk. I'm not sure.
Oh, boy. I'm
sure.
So, like, do you have to be there? Like, when? How does it count? Like, can you be there for a few minutes?
Let me give you examples. Yes. Let me give you examples of the 90 to 100% in my mind. This is my analogy, so I get to do this. So, in the 90 to 100%, we're talking about first homes of graduating, that ride, that car that you've always wanted. You've worked on your health journey and you've hit that health goal and you're feeling and looking a certain way. You got up and your hair did just what you wanted it to do. I mean, you went to a bucket list. You went on a bucket list trip. You know, to me, those are 90 to 100% like moments. And I want to emphasize moments. There are times that you can be there an extended amount of time. Let's say maybe you've had your first child and, you know, you just come home and, you know, it's all new. And there's some rough times in there, but it's still a very, you know, nice,
joyous
time.
Yeah.
It could be stressful, but yes, those are examples of being over there. You graduate, all those kind of things.
Moving into a new house for the first, you know, year.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All of those things are qualified as those times. But as you can hear, those are literally moments. And there might be times, I think, too, of like when you first maybe got to college or moved out on your own for the first time by yourself. That could definitely qualify. But they're all like, it's finite. You know, these are not like, they don't go on and on and on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those times qualify. But to me, like if I have a day where, you know, my schedule goes off without a hitch, I'm here to greet the first client. You know, I get to go home. I get to get my extra walk in. I get to read. Like, damn it, that's almost an 80% day. And I think my expectations, I think I'm happier, because another thing I would tell people is when they kind of not those like 70% or 60% days, I'd be like, you know, people kind of, you know, Candyland. You've played Candyland, right? Or your child, the game Candyland?
I've heard of it, but I don't know. I've never played it.
Oh, my gosh. You need to play it. But anyway, it's like a really, really little kitty game, okay? And you pull a color and you move your little thing to that color block, okay? It doesn't even have words. But I think sometimes, and at the end, if you win, if you're the winner, you've made it to the candy castle at the top of the board. You arrive at the candy castle. I think that some people think that I eventually should arrive at some point at the candy castle.
Yes, 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 yes.
Why am I not there? It's You know, and I feel like, no, you know, I feel like if you get there, you need to beware because your days are numbered. If you figure things out and you've gotten to the candy castle, like, your time is up. But I tell people, it's like, why have they're like frustrated because like things, I should be doing whatever, I should have whatever, I should be like whatever, whatever that is, I don't know. And I was like, this is not Candyland. There is no candy castle. There is no arrived. You just go from one stage to the next. There is no figuring life out. I said, again, if you have and you have the secrets of life, get away from me, because you hurt. So I just, this is one of my favorite things I like to remind people of. And we're like, you're in a season, and sometimes when you're a caregiver for anybody, your child or somebody, you know, senior or something like that, you know, there are stretches where I can remember being a hands-on caregiver, and it seems like the 90 to 100% side of the spectrum eluded me for many, for a minute. But I mean, now I sit here and it's like, not that I'm there now, because I'm not, but it's, you know, we go through these stages.
It's a flow. It's a up and down ride experience.
That is true. That is very true.
Yeah.
I really think that embracing that and sometimes saying, you know what? And what I'll do during the times where I'm closer to 40 is like, I'm like, do I have a good book? You know, that really just kind of helps me redirect. It's like I can focus on somebody else's stuff, something else outside of myself. Am I, you know, getting my work? I'm just workout in. What am I doing? Even the little things, you know, those add a little bit of joy. Coming on this podcast, you know, that's something that is I can hold on to. I see it on the calendar. It's something that is just brings me joy. It's doing those little things for yourself instead of like just trying to just, I don't know, fix it or force it or.
Yeah, on the hamster wheel. Mm-hmm. On the hamster wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that makes people sad, you know, to know that there's no way that they could just put themselves in that optimal mindset and space and stay there.
Yeah. Yeah. You get there and then don't realize that you got to maintain it wherever there is. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be a new there.
There's always a new there, and there's no way that we can live in the 90 to 100% space.
So it's about acceptance, essentially, acceptance of the ebbs and flows of life, and how do we find peace in that regardless of what's happening outside of us?
I think so. At least that's what I'm learning at this point, is just, yeah, being where you are. There, of course, there are some things we can tweak and do here and there, you know, of course. But overall, if I could, my thing is, if I knew that and I could put you in that optimal place and keep you there, I would be rich and famous.
Yeah, I know that.
Sitting here doing this, that's the running joke here. It's just not a thing.
What do you say to someone who might hear this episode and say, but, you know, Adrienne, you are a therapist. How do you get in this space and stay there for this long? Like, or Pam, like, if you have had seasons like that, what do you say?
I'm a human first. I'm a human first. Again, don't get it twisted. Just because I'm a therapist does not mean I have the answers to life.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that at all. And I want to bust that myth right now. Yes, I'm a therapist. And yes, I can be in a 40% or less season for a minute because I'm human first. And I am susceptible to all things that other humans who are not therapists are susceptible to as well. I am not immune to any of that. So that's what
any part of this life's experience.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
I don't know why people think that. What do you think?
Well, I couldn't have said it better, honestly. It's that, you know, no different than anyone else. We're not in a work capacity 24/7. You know, like, even to the people who think when they first meet you, like, oh my God, they're a therapist. Are you psychoanalyzing us right now? And it's like, no, I just want to have a good time. Like, I'm not even thinking about work, you know? So we're not always wearing the hat of therapist. That is what we do for a living, you know? And yes, you know, people tell me in my personal life all the time, you can't turn it off. You can't turn it off. I still don't really know what that means. I think that's an assumption that they make. And sure, there may be some things that I just know and that I may practice, but it's not only because I'm a therapist, but I also go to therapy.
Yeah.
So there's that. Like, me knowing and practicing and doing what I do is evidence of work that I have put in personally, not just what I know from textbook and theory.
I like that you mentioned that, because I think people say that to me, some of the same things to me too. And I too go to therapy, and I think, and you know, I'm a supervisor, and I think you are too. I think that's what I ask my supervisees to do. I think in order to climb up Maslow's hierarchy of needs or to be a better just human, period, and a therapist, I think you need to sit on that other side. You need to always work on yourself. So it's not that I'm working. I'm practicing the things that I'm learning, you know, as I, you know, work on myself and continue to grow. So, and still, even with that, I'm going to be real deal with you. I don't care about you that much to be sitting here analyzing you.
Exactly. It's like, I'm not getting paid. Why would I do that? Why would I put in the work?
Thank you.
Would you go and mow this grass out here for free?
And that's why it's like, you know what? No, I don't really care about. And, you know, and I think to me, that's something that's helped me, you know, be better mentally and emotionally, is getting okay with not caring about a whole hell of a lot of things. And I think I mentioned that in another episode. It's just, there's just some things I just really don't give a rip about, and analyzing you is one of them. So if you see me out in the streets, no, I'm not worried about you.
No, I'm here to eat my food. I'm here to watch the show. I'm here to do, you know, whatever thing that everybody else is here to do. Be at the wedding. Hell.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yep.
That's my little soapbox.
Yep. I agree with everything that you said. And I'm so glad that we're talking about this in this little finale today, because I think having spaces like this where people who do what we do or any other service, you know, type career, I think we have to have spaces to kind of be ourselves, be authentic, and not be defined by, you know, I don't know.
The expectations of others. And ourselves talking to me, you know, I don't know where I get some of these ideas from. I really don't. Like, and then sometimes it's just so automatic, like, and I don't realize what I'm telling myself until I force myself to stay, you know, to like, just sit down and figure out what's going on. You know, it's like, again, the hamster wheel. I'll get on there too. I tell my clients, get off. First of all, just get off the hamster. You know, just get off and catch your breath.
I just think sometimes we're just hijacked, and, you know, we're hijacked in our thoughts about, you know, I shouldn't feel this way or should feel better. And that's why I use the 0 to 100% thing. It's like, you are human and you will, you just feeling one way is not a realistic human experience. You shouldn't feel any one way all of the time. As a human, you're going to, you know, experience all the different things, and coming to a place where you can accept that as a part of your existence and know that when you're not in the optimal position, keep living, keep figuring it out, and eventually you'll go visit there a time or two, three or four, maybe even more. So I think just having more realistic expectations of yourself. And I don't know, I get it, but then sometimes I don't get it.
Yeah.
I'm like, why you expect always? I'm like, who are you? Like, sometimes the things that people expect from themselves, I'm like,
yeah, why? Where'd you, why?
Why? Like, yeah. Did you have, are you like superhuman or something? Or I don't know, like, some of the things that I hear people expect themselves, I just like, why do they, what?
I don't think people, I don't hear me sometimes.
I guess that's true. That's true.
I don't hear me, like, until I'm just like, what in the world's going on? My life's so crazy.
But you
get like, oh, you're crazy. You're thinking some crazy stuff.
But, you know, that's why people always roll their eyes when I say journaling. But if you've ever written down exactly what you were thinking and ever read it out loud, you'd be like, I'm verklempt. Oh, my gosh. And that's why people don't like to do it a lot of the time, because they know that shippy sounding.
Yeah.
But it's really when you feel like kind of, like that, you're feeling verklempt, write it down and read it back to yourself. Or I tell some people nowadays who don't like to write or anything like that, video yourself saying whatever it is and you try to watch it back.
Yes, and you will quickly
you'll be
something you will at least have more awareness of yourself.
I think one of the ones, it happened here recently, somebody was talking about an issue that they were having with a friend or whatnot, and it really wasn't any kind of an issue. It was just that the particular friend wasn't responsive as what they would hope, and the person is really, they've become, you know, nervous, like, what did I do? What, you know, this, that, and the third. I'm like, this, you're making this about you. And unless you know that you have done something to this individual, you are just assuming that somebody's thinking about you, caring about you, like worrying about you. And this probably isn't about you. So I think you just, you know, I think this is something you can effectively let go if you know you haven't done anything. And the person's like, but I'm still unhappy about this. I was like, you are going to have to stay a little unhappy. You know, you're going to have to be unhappy and realize that you can only focus on what you can. You cannot make them do any, you know, things. If they've got something going on in their life, you need to respect it and stop making everything
about
you. everything is fine.
You made the four agreements. Have you ever heard of that? Or
you, I think you and other people have told me about this. Yeah. This right here.
That's one of the agreements, is not to make assumptions, and don't. And another agreement is do not take things personal.
I told him, I said, you are not the sun. Everything that happens in the universe is not about you. So just because somebody is not as responsive to you, they probably have some really big things going on in their lives that they need to attend to right now. And we want to respect that. And we want to focus on the things that we can control. So I think just, I shared all that to say, it's like, I think we expect a lot of ourselves and others in the world around us. And right after I asked that person, while you're upset about this, I want you to tell me about the things in your life that are going just fine. There were more than five. I said, but because this, in the thing that it wasn't even like
a major, like nobody took your girlfriend.
Right. And I was like, so in the grand scheme of things, So I think sometimes too, just managing those expectations, knowing that we're going to be 90, we're going to spend a lot of time at 40, we're going to spend some time maybe at 20, just knowing that this is a part of the human experience. I hate to tell people, happiness is not a place where we all just get to reside like 365, 24/7. It's just...
it is not.
So, I am appreciating
your...
I mean, but it's a good one to... But how many times do people come in on those initial sessions and you ask them what they want and they want to be happy? I'm like... I was like, I want to warn you right now that being here will not guarantee
happiness.
So I just want to get that out here early in the game. So I want to say thank you for being so transparent about where you are, you know, what you've been going through here. And I feel so special that you share it with me, allow me in, talk to me like this. And I think that that's a big thing that honestly to me is the biggest help to mental health, period. It's having some kind of safe space or person to be able to share yourself with.
Safely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess before we go, do we want to kind of recap the season? Do we have any hot tea?
Hot tea. You know what hot tea is? We have made it here today. And I am damn proud of it. Do you have any hot tea? I'd love to recap. There's some really cool things. We can recap, but before we get to that, do you have any tea?
The only real tea that I've seen lately is, you know, apparently Taylor Swift has a diss track towards Kim Kardashian that she released last night. It's called Thank You, Amy. What do you think about that? Taylor Swift and a diss track. And it's Kim K.
Are we just... I mean, are you just needing attention or like what at this point, what is the point of that?
I don't know, but I think it's like, is that music in general? Because I thought that was a Black culture thing, or not even a Black culture thing, a hip hop.
It's a hip hop thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I thought that was interesting. And then it's like, what is Kim K going to do? Like a tweet? To like respond?
Because typically if you do something like that, the other person can respond in song or rap or something like that. And I guess you could try, you know, anything is possible. But I think it's just an attention grab. I think it is, why now? Like, why now? Did I miss something?
I don't know. I think that they've had this ongoing kind of feud. Apparently, Kim Kardashian posted some little gifts of Taylor Swift and kind of like mocking her talent. And, you know, probably doesn't help that she was married to Kanye West and Kanye snatched Taylor Swift's award one time at one of the awards shows. So I think it's an ongoing thing. And finally, I guess Taylor decided to strut her stuff. That's the only tea I've seen, which shows you how hot it is out there. Everything else is about more Diddy stuff, Young Thug and his trial, which is a total like shit show. Here's the other thing that I'm hearing a lot of, and that is that there's like this like downfall of celebrity influence.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why we don't have that much hot tea, because nobody really cares anymore. The celebrities are all a hot mess. They're all on the ride.
And, you know, you talk about burnout. I think the people are burned out on being influenced. And I would like to talk about that, because other things, when you tell me the thing about the diss track, I have no comment on that. However, I do the whole idea of people like, you know, being tired of celebrity influencers. I think I even hear that in here. Because it's like we're always being sold to. We're all, you know, whether it's clean talk, book talk, this talk, that talk, it's all about, no matter what it is, it's kind of the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah. I can't imagine all of what it's going to look like, you know, for everybody. Like, what are people going to do now? Like, what is clean? Let's talk about clean fun. Like, what is clean fun for like a healthy, responsible adult?
I'm going to tell you, I've experienced a time or two. Only a time or two. You know, you've not lived up here in the very northern part of Alabama, but in 2011, when the tornado came through, and we had no power for like maybe close to 2 weeks, no cell phones, no nothing. That period of time when that tornado came through, all the stimulation was stripped away, and it was... Would I go back and do it again? No. But I think there's something to have, you know, paring it down, because you got plenty of sleep. You had to be efficient with your time, because you only had daylight. After at nighttime, you can see nothing. You had to be proactive with your day.
Mm-hmm.
You had to talk to people.
Talk in person, face-to-face conversation.
Yeah, everybody was outside for a few minutes every day. You know, mainly the talk is, well, do you know where we could get some gas from? Do you know, like, what is the plan if you know, we get to this point and there's still no power? So kind of strategizing, you know, when we were going to leave the house and go to another town and stay. And, you know, we were all in the neighborhood, like, strategizing. We're like, we have enough food to make it until this day. If nothing happens by that day, we're going to leave. Well, where are y'all going to go? You know, that was the thing. So we're all kind of just talking every day, coming up with strategy about what was next. So you talked every day. You had to cook your stuff every day outside. You did, like... reading, you did board games, you did puzzles, and you cleaned, and then you just rested. I think that's what it, you know, that's what it would look like. I think if we didn't have anything.
A lot more community.
I'm going to ask you, how many people talk to you about struggling to find connection, whether it's friends or like a partner?
That's the what people are complaining about, issues in relationships, you know, one way or another, whether it be not feeling as connected and close and attached to their family of origin. I see that a lot in this season. A lot of people just feeling like they're the black sheep of their family, or that their families are estranged or things like that. And, you know, how do you work through that and create community for yourself? Because you got to have it somewhere. We got to have some safe, healthy support. So I see it a lot. Usually that's the presenting issue. We can find other things, but a lot of times the complaint is as a result of some issue in a relationship or across multiple relationships.
Honestly, you know, I don't like to be that person and blame everything on the internet, but I think it's like the internet makes us think we're connected. You know, it's like an illusion of connection. But through my work and what I'm hearing your work, we're seeing that people don't really feel, they don't really feel that connection. I think, you know, connections online are an illusion. Yeah. And I think people are craving more. And I think that's why you're seeing a step back on some of the, you know, influencing and things of that nature, because people are like, this isn't doing anything for me for real.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel like how I want it to feel. So,
Yeah. And I think that when social media first came about, it was easier to connect. Then it was a lot more like personable, but now with all the like sponsored ads and people, everybody's business on there, like the personal touch has over time gotten further and further removed from the spaces, I think.
You're so right. Because I remember the earlier days, and it was more about the people putting in their selves or their skill or whatever, just putting it out there, and it's pure in that way. But now, in the midst of that, there's going to be an ad or sponsorship or something like that. And I think you're so right. Yeah. I think it's definitely evolved into something very different. And I don't know if you've seen this. If not, I'll have to send it to you. But there was a woman online, I don't know who this person was, but he was talking about this, people connecting and feeling disconnected. Well, this woman had met somebody online, and she gets on social media and shares this most embarrassing moment, because when she gets to the date to meet the person is very upset with her because he's like, you don't look like your picture. And he wouldn't smile at her, talk to her. He's like, this is not. And so she's crying, sharing this online. Like, if we use the video from this, I need to insert the face here of that individual. But she's crying about, you know, and it's like, you know what, if she had a friend or somebody else, she would not need to be on here looking like this, making that cry face, telling us this most embarrassing. I mean, and then she puts up the picture that he saw, and then, girl, she had the slave braids on and the thing. Like, you would not need to be on here like this, in this state of affairs, if you had like a real friend somewhere that you could just vent to, you know what I'm saying? Like, this,
I do.
Why would you get on there like that?
Listen, I just went on a little rant, I think it was yesterday, on social media, and I said, you know, here's a life hack: get a journal to process your
I saw that one.
Get a journal, because I had seen, and I've got people in my family who do it, like the minute you're mad at somebody and you feel like you didn't get your point across, you want to go on Facebook. I don't like that. I just think, like, you just
you are so right. I saw that and I liked it. I was like, yes, because when I saw this video of this girl, I'm like, you done got on here. What did that man call it? The person commenting on the video? He called him Buster Douglas braids.
That is Miss Peel.
I was like, oh my God. He's right, but you know what? You put yourself out here like this.
Yeah, yeah.
You put yourself out here like this, and she's like boo-hooing, making the ugly cry face. She's doing it all. And you know what? I kind of saw where old dude was coming from, because what I saw versus the picture,
two different things.
And then she really began to become upset when the guy sat through the date. But then Cash apped her to send her part of the meal back. That's when she lost it.
Listen, maybe you shouldn't send me this picture.
I'm going to because he froze it right at the, she lost it. The crop face really came through when she said he actually cash apped me a request to send back my portion of the meal to him. She's like, he saw me, and then he freezes it like right there because she really starts to break down. I was like, he's wrong for that. But again, at home, where's your, where are your people?
Where, yeah, yeah.
Where's your journal? Where's something? Where's,
you know what? It's people like that, Pam, that have people, they don't listen. Because I'm telling you, before I put that post up, you think I ain't have private conversations with my folks? And it ain't just them. That was applicable to everybody. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, folks will tell you that's my page. And if that's what I want to put on my page, then you can unfollow me, or you can block me, or you can do this or that. So, you know, sometimes it's not really that there's no people. It's that this individual isn't willing to take an honest look at themselves and be really accountable for them as adults.
I 100% agree. Because even the guy commenting on it, and, you know, he's like, I think she believes that she looks like the filter, you know, picture of herself. And because she was really feeling like she didn't mislead this individual, but she did. But I think it's like this, people who can't see themselves don't have an awareness of things. And I think you really need to read or listen to The Anxious Generation. I'm reading it right now, and I believe there's just, I think you talked about the four agreements. I think all the cognitive distortions that people are having about themselves, especially when you primarily exist online, it's like a lot of smoke and mirrors, filters, and, you know, a lot, and you are believing things that are not, in fact, reality. And this person, I'm going to send you a whole video. She said that she looked like the filtered picture, and I know
you don't.
You don't. And I just really think that the loss of that, you just have to see it for yourself.
It's you trying so hard to just be cool about it.
Because it was just wrong. And then not only that, but okay, and maybe there was something, I think, I try not to laugh because it seemed like, I don't know if she was a little off or something. Maybe that's why she believed that she looks like, I don't know, something just seemed a little strange. But I think that sometimes something seemed off. I don't know what it was. I just need to stop. I just need to send you the video, and you can check it out for yourself. You just need to check it out for yourself.
Gosh.
Yeah. But I just think when I saw that, I'm like, what world is this person living in? Do they not understand? But I think it's like the people who said they believe their own hype. They created this world on here in their head and they're in it. Mm-hmm. And what is reality? They're not in that.
Yeah.
And I think that's another reason why a lot of our connections are, and that's what makes what we're doing to me so much cooler too, because it's two people. We're not actually in person, but we're having, synchronous conversation. We see each other, we're being open and authentic. There's no filters here, folks. None.
Yeah. Yeah.
Raw. This is what we are. And this is just something that,
It makes me wonder. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I do wonder, like, is this the goal? Like, is this an agenda, like, to keep us separate and not doing this and to keep hiding behind screens, and with AI becoming more and more popular, I've seen these human robot looking things that can have full blown conversations with you, intellectual conversations, with another human. And so it's just like, it's just scary. It's scary to know that more and more as a worldwide, we're becoming more and more disconnected from one another in general.
I think, they even make them for kids. I forgot what the name of the AI friend is, but you can buy your child an AI friend to talk to them. Like when they're down, I saw it and we talked about it in supervision. I asked my supervisor, he's like, what do you think about this? And as an adult, you can also have and this yourself from your work. People come in, they'll be talking about a partner or a friend, come to find out they ain't never met the friend. It's somebody somewhere just online. And people think, then they feel very connected. It feels very real to them. And I don't know if it's a part of some larger plan. I don't know. Maybe it's a part of, maybe some plan to get us all caught up in this and then come in and we're all super distracted and frazzled and not connected. And I don't know. But I really cherish the ability to be able to connect with people these days, because this is not the norm.
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's not. But I think that, again, I'm just so grateful that we've created this space, because like you say, it's not normal, but people need to know that it's possible and how to build that for themselves. So,
I agree. So with that said, folks, we would love for you to reach out to us and give us any ideas for the next season. We plan to come back in the fall. But we're going to have a special episode where we're actually going to be, oh my gosh, live in person.
Yep.
Talking to each other this summer. So look for a special episode from us this summer. You'll get to see us interact in person, and then we'll be back here online in the fall. It's always a good time when we get together, y'all. You have to tune in, but let us know what you'd like for us to talk about. Think, Adrian, we should put up a little poll and see what people are interested in talking about.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, what do y'all want to hear from us?
Definitely. You want to sign us out? Tell people how they can contact us, Miss Adrian.
We are on Instagram at Sweet Tea and Therapy, spelled out. And you can also email us at ANP@sweetteaandtherapy.com.
Yes, and the and is spelled out, ANDP as in Pam. All right, y'all. Until next time, keep it sweet.
Yes, like, subscribe. What else? Share.
Like, subscribe, share, y'all. It's a wrap. Till next time.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Sweet Tea and Therapy with AMP.
We hope you enjoy diving into the behind-the-scenes world of therapy and everything in between with us.
Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and join us next time for more candid conversations and a fresh brew of tea.
Until then, take care, be kind to yourselves, and keep sipping on that
sweet tea.